actually very excited because I've got a new phone system tonight, so you'll be my trial run with this new system to see how it works out as far as sound and all that type of thing. So thank you all for coming. This is an introductory talk on the Reality of Gnosis work that we'll be offering in Wichita in a short time. We'll be going over those dates and things with you later. Many of you probably don't know me. I am the what's called the Mokadam Marabi Ruhe Rais in the Sufi tradition, which is kind of a fancy name for meaning that I am in charge of sort of the United States area for this particular branch of Sufism. Sufism is a very ancient lineage of teachings that go back, I like to think, about 3,500 years. They go back to the time of the prophet Abraham from the Bible. And these teachings are sort of the esoteric teachings that began with him and then were passed on and downwards, and they've shown up again with Moses. They showed up again with Joseph and some of the other prophets that came. And then again, they showed up with the prophet Muhammad, and peace and blessings upon all these prophets. So it's a very old, old teaching that has kind of had springs, sort of perennial springs that have showed up through time. Now, Sufism, there are many ways it's held. In other words, there are people who hold it in more religious ways, and there are people like myself who hold it in more sort of eclectic ways. And I think all are good, and all have their place, if you will. The idea, well, let me say first, there are Sufis who are just Sufis. In other words, they are just seeking illumination, realization, the world of unity, and they have no religious background whatsoever. In other words, they're not interested in a formal outward religion whatsoever. There are Sufis that are seeking those things, but they identify themselves with Christianity. There are Sufis who identify them with Judaism. There are some who are more identified with the Hindu approach. So Sufism has sort of melded into many different traditions. And so you have traditional Sufis, and you have Islamic Sufis, and you have Christian Sufis, and you have Sufis who are none of those things, who absolutely say, I don't want to be part of any religion. I don't want to be formalized in any way whatsoever. So all of these type of Sufis exist. Now, for me personally, my quest has always been for illumination and truth, for enlightenment, for knowledge about the heart, and the realities of the heart, particularly because love has always been something very important to me, and my heart has always been a key for me. So personally, my traveling has always been towards understanding the deeper realities, understanding the deeper truths, understanding everything in existence as best I could. I have not formally had a lot of outward desire for structures and religion, and yet I also see the value of them and the goodness in them when they're taught in the right way. So personally, I have a lot of respect for that, and I tend to be a teacher who will hold a person wherever they are. In other words, if you want to be Christian and you want to join these teachings, welcome. If you want to experience the deeper teachings that have no formalized tradition, welcome. If you want to embrace Islam and take on these teachings, welcome. It's like any or all of it is good for me personally. So I welcome all of you to these teachings. So let's talk about a little bit about what Sufism is and where we're going, and then we'll talk a little bit about the reality of Gnosis, which is specifically what these teachings are about. Sufism, I guess I should talk about how I got involved in Sufism first. Before I was a Sufi, I had spent a lot of time in India after having become a physician, And I was seeking healing in the sense of learning to be a healer, and I was looking more to be sort of an energetic healer. The long reasons why that was, a lot of it had to do with the fact that I started to have visions, which led to seeing auras, and then I started to be able to see diseases in people's bodies. And I was trying to put all that together with my background as an allopathic physician. So I went to India, and I became a sannyasin in a order out there, where I was learning a great deal about meditation and the inner realities and the inner states and all those type of things. Unfortunately, there were some difficulties, and I ended up leaving and ended up going on my own for about 10 years. In other words, I was basically meditating and seeking enlightenment, but I was not doing any formalized path. Around that time, I had a very powerful opening of my third eye, and I began to see auras, and I actually began to see teachers in the auric light. In other words, in the light of the auras, teachers would show up, and I could actually see them at that time. And they would appear to me, several of them, in sort of different forms, and they began to teach me. And that began my sort of, I don't know what you want to call it, teaching in energy healing. So I spent the next 7 years basically being taught by these teachers of light in my medical practice. And people would come in, they'd come in with all sorts of diseases, cancer, you name it. I would look at their aura. The teachers would come, they would show me things, I would work at healing them, I would take medical tests, I would correlate the medical tests. And that became the process of basically how I learned to heal in the auric world. Now, that was all happening in my 30s, where that opening had occurred. And when I became 36, I had taken on so much of the energy or karma, or whatever you like to call it, from the people that I'd worked with, that my heart actually went into congestive heart failure, and I started to actually, I was actually dying from my heart failing. I went into heart failure. So I was working as a healer and physician, and then I got sick and I couldn't heal myself. And that became a really difficult state for me. And I began to look around, you know, who actually can help me to heal? Who can give me the healing that I need? And around that time, one of my beloveds, one of my students, told me about a man that was a Sufi that was coming over from Jerusalem who was supposed to be a superb healer. And I was very interested in that because I wanted to meet, I'd heard about the Sufis, had not really met any, and I was interested in the spiritual healing that I heard he did. So I left to meet him. He came to Santa Fe, and I flew in to meet him. And I walked into his presence, and I was, you know, very much struck by the humility that I experienced with him. He was very simple, very down to earth, was sitting on the floor. Was not a lot of fanfare around him. You know, we weren't throwing rose petals or flowers or, you know, any of the things that we had in the sort of the Eastern traditions. And I walked in and, you know, he looked at me and he said to me, he closed his eyes for a moment. He said to me, the first thing out of his mouth, he said, welcome, do you know that you're dying and you have 6 months left to live? And I was just kind of shocked. I said, how do you know that? That's a secret that only my wife knows, and I've kept it hidden pretty much from everybody. How do you know that? And he said, if you're connected to Allah, he said, Allah will show you everything about anything. Which, by the way, is what Gnosis is. And I had no real awareness of what a Gnostic state was. And so to be with somebody who had that level of perception that within, you know, 15 seconds of meeting me goes inside and comes out with my greatest secret of who I am and why I've come to see him was mind-boggling to me. And I said to him, I said, you know, is Allah God? He said, yes. He said, there's only one God. And he said, la ilaha illallah, there's only one God. And he said, if you can purify yourself, you can have knowledge of anything in existence and wisdom about what you have knowledge about. And, you know, I was thinking about that. I thought, wow, that would be incredible as a physician to be able to have that kind of knowledge with my patients. If they could come in and I could be able to read them like that and know what's going on with them. I said, this is really something. So I said to him, I said, you exactly got it right about my state. I am dying. I said, would you go and would you ask Allah? I said, can you ask him? Would you go and ask him directly if you can do that? What can I heal or am I dying? And again, he closed his eyes and he sat down and he was gone a long time. I mean, it was probably like 10 minutes and I was just kind of holding his hands for 10 minutes, which is a long time when you're sitting in a kind of silent space. And he finally came back. I thought he'd fallen asleep. And I said, did you fall asleep? He said, no, my beloved. He said, I was traveling. He said, the Gnostic travels. The Gnostic is able to travel to all different worlds and all different places and understand facets of the world and things that you wouldn't believe. And I said, well, where did you go? And he said, I went to God, and I sat with God, and I asked for you whether you could be healed. And I broke down crying because it was so powerful, the transmission of this merciful act, and what happened was just mind-boggling. And I said, and what was your answer? And he said, the answer is yes, you can be healed. But the trouble for you is that you don't know how to love. You don't know the love. Your heart is dying because you are working from a non-loving place. It wasn't that I was unloving. I was actually very loving. If anybody met me, they would tell you that I was very loving. But I was not loving in the deep understanding of love. I was loving from my ego, from my nafs, we say, from my heart. But in the deep place, I was not working from the essential light of love. I was working more from a state of consciousness. So he said, you have to learn to love. And he said, if you drop everything, you can heal, but you're going to have to drop everything. You have to close up. I was teaching, I had a school, healing school, all these things. He said, you have to close up everything, and you have to learn to love. If you do that, you'll live. If you don't do that, you won't live. So I followed, and I did what he said. I closed up everything. I closed up pretty much just about everything he asked me to do. And I bought a sailboat, sold my house, bought a sailboat, got the sailboat and started sailing around the Caribbean and would spend the nights out on the ocean remembering the dhikrs or the sacred language that he was giving me. And it began to change me very, very, very quickly. And by the way, these are the teachings that I'll be offering to you when I come to Wichita, which are these dhikrs, these recitations, how to sit with the divine, how to receive from the divine, how to allow this knowledge to come into you. And so I sat, and for 1 year I sat on the water pretty much very frequently, night after night. I sat and I just was bathed by the light of the divine. And I began to enter into this relationship with God, this relationship with Allah, this relationship with this divine being that was something I had no real understanding of. And within a very short time, I started to breathe better. I started to walk better. At that point, I could walk about 6 steps without getting short of breath. Within about 3 weeks, I was walking 10 or 15, 20 steps. Within about a month, I was actually kind of unaware that I had anything. Within 6 months, I was running and playing tennis and scuba diving. And within a year, I was completely healthy. Everything was completely done. And my health came back, my heart came back, my life came back. And I realized that these Sufi teachings had healed me. So today, after now I've been with this man, Siddhi is his name. I've been learning from him for almost 15 years now. That was 15 years ago. And have been working with him to establish these realities in myself that he was living in when I met him. And he was in his 60s, you know, early 60s when I met him. And he had been in those realities for maybe 30 years at that point. So he had been living in that for a long time. And I wanted to understand, how does one reach into this reality of knowledge? And how do we open the doors to divine wisdom? And I remember I said to him, I said, oh, see, I said, I really want to be enlightened. I said, I really want to reach enlightenment. That's my real, truthful thing I want. And he laughed. He said to me, he said, my beloved, he said, I can teach you far, far more than what you think enlightenment is. And that was like shocking to me, because I didn't think there was anything greater than enlightenment. And he's telling me, I'm going to teach you more than enlightenment. I'm going to teach you more than what you think. So I embraced him. I took hand with him, what's called bayat. And I began to learn the Sufi walking. And the Sufi walking means, how do we travel through these worlds? And what are the worlds? Well, let's explain that. The first world is the one everybody lives in. It's the outer world, what we call the mulk world. It's what you sense with your five senses. So if you're hearing me with your ears, you're hearing me with one of your five senses. This is the mulk world. And behind this world is a deeper world, the world of the heart. So if you feel me, in other words, you're listening to me now, but if you actually reach out with your heart and you feel me, you'll see that not only can you hear my voice, but you actually can feel my presence, my energy, my light. All that is in your heart. So everybody just take a moment, maybe close your eyes for just a moment, and let yourself reach out with your heart and just kind of feel me. And what do you feel when you reach out with your heart? Teaching you how to act, how to be, so that you can reach to heaven. This has to do with the world of the mulk. And then if you go into most spiritual paths, or at least the New Agey kind of things, they're teaching you more of how to be in your heart, how to feel, how to perceive auras or energies or things like that. This is all the second world. Okay? So these are all what are called the Malakut, and this is the world where a lot of healing occurs. In other words, this is the world of the astral world, it's the etheric world, it's the world where the lower levels of it are where people talk about the darkness, the higher levels of it are sort of the levels of light, the worlds of light, where the angels live. So this is all sort of what we call the second world, the Malakut world. The Malakut world is powerful. It's an incredible world of light, and it's an incredible diagnostic world. As a healer, if you can read the Malakut, you can be a fabulous healer. You can see energy, you can feel energy. Somebody comes in, you'll perceive in the molecule, you can maybe see the cancer right in their field. You can see, you know, there's somebody, you'll come in, like when as a doctor they'd say, oh, I have pancreatitis, and I would look, and the light that was being called pancreatitis was over their liver. It wasn't a pancreatitis, it was a hepatitis that was being misdiagnosed or something like that. So, you know, you have to look to see what was causing the changes. As a healer, I would look to see what's causing the changes in the malakut and then try to apply some form of healing that would rectify those changes. So that became a very, very powerful world for me at that time. And it's something that we all have to pass through, not only as healers and as spiritual teachers, for those of you that are spiritual teachers, but also if you're seeking illumination, enlightenment, God, unity, self-realization, whatever you'd like to call it, to go through the second world and to be able to understand it and cross the ocean of that world is a very powerful and a very necessary experience that is necessary to learn. And it's, some people want to do it in their mind, they want to do it in their heads. It's done through the heart. I mean, it can be done, some of it can be done through the mind, but it is a deeper heart-based thing. In other words, can you be in your heart? Can you truly cross through that world? Can you know that world? And can you go to the other side? So these, you know, all spiritual paths ultimately are here to take us through the Malakut world. We're here to cross through and to break through the other side, but we have to learn the inner realities of that world. So after you cross through that world, you have what we call fana, or the disappearance or annihilation of the Malakut world. It actually disappears. Not that it disappears, it's present. But your awareness of the Malakut world will disappear. In other words, you travel through this world, you stop being so conscious of it. It kind of fades out. And it's not that it's not there. You can return to it, but it's like you've gone to a different radio station. You've changed the channel. Okay. Now, if you change the channel, the next world is the soul world. So now we have to go into the deeper teachings of the soul. So we have to know, who are we? What's our soul? What is our essence? You know, what's the light of our soul like? What is the perceptions of our soul? What does our soul long for? Where is our soul caught? Meher Baba, who's a teacher I happen to love very much, talked about the samskaras, or the impressions of the soul. You know, what are the impressions that the soul is locked into that keep it in pain and suffering? So these teachings of going through the soul samskaras, through going through these impressions and being able to unwind the soul from its places of attachment is all what the traveling through the third world is about. And in Sufism, we do this through what are called the 99 divine qualities. So many traditions have different qualities. In Kabbalists, they have a certain number of qualities. Hindus have 10,000 qualities. Sufism, we talk about 99. 99 divine qualities, like divine compassion, divine mercy, divine love, divine peace, things like that. And each of these qualities is cleaned and purified as one moves through the soul reality, so that the soul becomes a very, very holy and pure place. Now, the reality of the soul is very transcendent. In other words, if when you're in the reality of the soul and you enter into that world, it is a very, 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 very deep and very beautiful world. You really start to touch on you're verging on enlightenment. You're starting to really taste something very, very deep inside yourself. You're not very connected to the world anymore. The world is pretty much starting to be meaningless in many ways. In your spirit, you're connected to your spirit, which is your soul, and you're starting to open it into the soul reality and starting to transcend and enter into that reality. And sometimes it's very strong, because it literally means that you're going to be leaving sort of your earthly realm and moving into a deeper place. So, you know, people, we hear all the time, people say, oh, you've got to die to yourself to be born into light, or to be enlightened, you have to die. And this is what we're speaking about. It's the dying of the attachment to the world, the dying to the attachment to self, and the opening of the doors of perception of the heart and the soul into the higher reality that we're speaking about here. Now, if you do that, honestly, the qualities inside of your heart will begin to change, and the qualities inside your soul begin to change, and you begin to take on the divine qualities. You start to become somebody who holds the real compassion, somebody who has the real mercy inside your heart. It's different than the human compassion. Human compassion is like, I love you, you know, as long as you don't cross me. The divine compassion is, I love you no matter what you do. There's a difference. There's a difference in the nature of compassion. And, of course, there's many levels of that. So we travel deeper and deeper and deeper, embodying more and more and more and more of these divine qualities until all these qualities are drawn together and they get pulled to one point. And in this moment, when all the qualities in the soul get pulled together to this one point, the soul consciousness literally flips. And you're now in your soul, you're aware of your soul. And it turns. The consciousness flips from witnessing the qualities and the malakut and the malk worlds, the lower world, the soul world we call Jabarut, the world of the soul. You witness this world and it flips and you jump out of the soul and you literally turn your consciousness up to the awareness of the godly worlds, the divine realities, what we call the divine light. Now we call that world the world of Lahut. Lahut means the world of divine or world of God. It's the higher world. You flip into that world. Now, that state, that flipping, by the way, is very, 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 very holy thing. We say this is your fana, your annihilation or disappearance of yourself, and you're flipping into the godly realities. And this, by the way, is the first step of enlightenment. You've entered into the first step of enlightenment, except because it's occurring through God and through the heart and has to do with the simultaneously opening of the heart, we say you enter for the first time into the world of unity. Okay. Now, the world of unity is a world of light. It's a higher world. It's a world of freedom. It's a world where there is not suffering. There's no pain there. There's only healing, health, freedom, beauty, oneness, goodness. It's ecstatic. So when you enter that world, there's so much. Compared to the lower world, it's like you're free. There's such a freedom. And that freedom of entering into that world we call Tawheed. You're beginning, you're walking into the Tawheed, into the world of unity. Now, as you enter into that world will change you very, 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 very deeply. And as it changes you, what it brings to you is what we call the divine essential love. The divine essential love is love that comes from the essential light of the divine as opposed to from our humanity. So it's a very, very pure state of love. People say it's so harmoniously, it's so beautiful, it's so peaceful, it's so real, it's so deep. So this divine essential love becomes your inner reality. You're living in this world of love, and you're traveling in this world of love, and the world of love is who you become. When you carry this love, and you become this love, and you hold this love in your heart, and this love is emanating out of every pore of your being, and it comes out of your eyes, and out of your ears, and you speak it, and your heart has become a sun of truth, we say you've reached the Hakikah. The Hakikah means the world of truth, or the world of love. You have now entered into the higher reality of the world of love. It's a very, very, very deep place. Now, when you enter that world of truth or that world of love, you have now finally, you've crossed through, we say you've completed the path to oneness or the path to God or the path to Allah. is complete. You've now completed. This is your first journey. You have graduated from your humanness, and you've entered into your divinity. You have reached the world of God. You have become a divine being. You have entered into the divinity. So this is, by the way, the first journey. And I call this the journey from the humanity to the divine, which results in entering the ocean of love. Your heart becomes an incredibly pure, deep ocean of rich love. Now, that love is very powerful. It will open things for you. It will change you. It may draw a beloved to you. It may make you into a healer. In other words, that love is a very powerful healing tool. It can guide people to illumination themselves so that they can reach the world of unity. It is a very, very powerful thing. So that love opens up inside of you. Now we finally, after this long journey, begin to talk about the realm of Gnosis. Once you have reached the ocean of love and you live in the Hakikah, now you begin the Gnostic journey. So now we're talking about what these teachings are that I'm going to be bringing to Wichita, which are specifically the teachings about the Gnostic journey. How do you enter this world? How do you move through this world? How do you open this world? How do you reach this world? Now you might ask yourself, well, if I'm a beginner, does that have any value for me? Of course it does. Because the Gnostic light and these teachings will begin to plant the seeds that will begin to open these realities inside of you and move you very, very deeply towards those realities. The Gnostic worlds, or the world of divine wisdom or divine knowledge, is about opening a very, very deep place inside of your heart. It's about receiving the pure light, love, and knowledge that comes from divinity itself. In other words, the divine speaks to you directly, and because you've purified your heart and your soul, we say your secret, and you've entered the Hakikah, and now you're prepared. You have become this vehicle who's now prepared. We say you are a prepared vessel. Your heart has been prepared, and your mind has been prepared. The knowledge is now revealed inside of your mind and your heart, and you have direct, penetrating clarity, insight, and knowledge that comes from the divine itself. That clarity is what Sidi had when he said to me, Ibrahim, you have 6 months left to live. It was from the divine. The divine was giving him that direct knowledge about what is and what isn't. And from that, not only did he get the knowledge, but he got the answer of what to do with me. He knew, yes, you can live. He knew what I needed to do with my diet, with my time, with what I need, the herbs I needed to take. He knew the spiritual teachings I needed. He knew what would keep me alive. He knew what would illuminate me, help me to reach enlightenment. He knew everything that I needed to know in order to complete myself as a human being. This is the world of Gnosis, the world of divine knowledge and divine wisdom. If you're a healer, it gives you direct insight into the knowledge about a person. Okay, for example, a man came to me with stage 4 carcinoma that had metastasized throughout his body, and he'd been at one of the hospitals, best cancer hospitals in the United States, and they had sent him home to die, essentially. And he called me up, and I went into remembrance, dhikr, and in that state received knowledge directly about him, about whether he could live or not. What could we do with that? Could we heal him, or where could he go? And he applied that knowledge. Within 2.5 months, he ended up having a problem that caused him to go into surgery, and they opened him up, and about 95% of the cancer had disappeared from his body at that point. And the doctors were saying, this is like a miracle. It's like almost gone. What happened to this? Where did this go? It's not here. In his little time of a few months, he had made the most malignant metastasis of all thoroughly disappear. They could almost not find it. It had gone most away. So this is the type of knowledge, gnosis, that we're seeking to give you. Personally, I would like to see everyone walk into the reality of the ocean of love and to have the world of unity become established inside of your hearts so that you become what I call really a master. You really are a master, and you really have this state of truth inside yourself, and you know how to give it to others. Then, the next journey, the journey in this world, and the knowledge that becomes revealed from the divine as it opens these different places inside of you so that you have this pure divine knowledge or gnosis. We call it ma'rifa. Ma'rifa means the knowledge that it comes from God, the knowing of the divine that is given to you directly inside, that you harness that, that not only you harness it, that you become it, that it becomes your reality, that you enter into this reality. So this is the world of gnosis. This is the world of love and the world of light that the teachings are about. So take a moment, look inside yourself, and ask yourself these questions. Do you feel, first of all, that you would like to walk through your heart? In other words, are you drawn to the heart? Are you drawn to the love? Are you drawn to the world of the heart as a way of moving through your spiritual journey? So take a moment and go inside and ask yourself that question. Okay, good. Now, if you feel that the journey through the heart is what you're seeking, ask yourself this next question. Are you willing to do the work, or the walking, if you will, to purify the heart so that your heart can truly flower into this ocean of love? In other words, that your heart becomes this amazing garden full of the flowers of love, and you become a person who really has love inside of you, so you really carry the love. Ask yourself if you're ready for that. Now, if you're feeling this is right for you, the next question is an even deeper question than this. Would you like to learn how to use the divine qualities to radically transform yourself and others and your life so that you can become really like a spiritual adept, somebody who's here to really make a difference in your world and the world of others, to really bring goodness and love to the world? Do you feel drawn to helping the world? Do you feel drawn to helping others? Is it important to you? Is what happens in this earth important to you? And if you're important, that is important to you, then you have really said this is something that you want to learn. The final question is this: would you like to embody the ocean of love? Would you like to enter into the world of unity and reach true realization and be clothed in the divine knowledge so that you can become that incredibly helpful being that can help all people? And by the way, we call that aulia. Alia means sainthood. It's actually you become a saint or a friend of God or a saint who is given. These are what the saints truly are. They are people who have really established the state of reality and are given these holy gifts. Would you like to have that? Would you like to, is that something that your being is called to? Would you like to reach to that knowledge? Feel drawn to that, by the way, that sainthood or that knowledge is called the reality of gnosis or ma'rifa, al-hakika al-ma'rifa, the reality of gnosis. And that, by the way, is what the teachings this upcoming weekend will be about, the reality of gnosis and how to walk these stations of the Sufi way, understanding the stations, the different worlds, and the healing and purification, and learning how to begin to reach into the reality of gnosis and begin to draw your substance from that world and have that knowledge begin to infuse you. Even no matter where you are, any stage of your walking, it begins. It's the process of beginning. So if you're drawn to that, then come, welcome. We welcome you to join us. If you would like, you can go to my website, Dr. Jaffe, M.D., drjaffemd.com, or you can call us, 888-2, the number 2, Dr. Jaffe, and drjaffe, and you can get information about upcoming workshops. And, of course, Rahima Pennell is on the line, and she is, hosting me in Wichita, and she is an acupuncturist and healer, very fine healer herself, who has been embodying these teachings and bringing the spiritual healing into her acupuncture and using them together with fabulous results. So if you feel drawn to these things, please contact us or feel free to join us in the Friday night event coming up or the weekend. Now, we have a couple questions that have come in that were emailed. If you want, we have a few more minutes left. You can email them to connect@drjaffemd.com, and those will get sent to me. So if you're online and you want to email any questions, feel free to do that. The first question that came in, and Rahima, feel free to join me at this point if you want, is, can you heal someone that doesn't believe that he can be healed? Can you heal somebody who doesn't believe he can be healed? And it's a great question. And my answer for you to that is, if someone doesn't believe it, it has a powerful effect on the reality. But a spiritual healer will see the beliefs that they can't be healed and will clean the beliefs from the person and replace them with the hope and the trust that they can be healed. So as a spiritual healer, you clean those beliefs, and whether or not the person can be healed has a lot more to do with whether or not, first of all, that the divine says yes, they can be healed. In other words, if Allah says you can be healed, I had 6 months to live, he healed me. This person had cancer, he's healed. It's in the process of healing. These things can be done very powerfully with the divine consent. So the belief is only a small part of healing, and there's a much, much greater potential for healing than that. Rahima, do you want to say anything about that? Do you want to add anything to the call on this?
No. If you guys didn't catch that email address that Ibrahim just mention though, you can also email me and I'll just verbally repeat the question to Ibrahim. There was the one question earlier which may have been answered, but the question is if you could define or explain what your concept and meaning of God is.
Thank you. That's a very big question and not an easy question to answer. For me, God is a very transcendent, incomprehensible being that is part of everything in existence, that has an intelligence and a power beyond anything I can possibly imagine, and is something that is accessible through purification. In other words, as we purify ourselves, we actually have the ability to have communication, real communication, not only just speaking to God, but also being able to receive answers or gnosis or Gnostic understanding of what God is speaking to us. And so for me, God is the penultimate light, the penultimate first creation, beyond creation, the beginning of all existence and the ending of all existence, and will be here when existence doesn't exist. And this is what, you know, a small understanding of what God is. And I think God is, you know, nobody can explain God because God is too big for any explanation. I don't think any person or any religion has the door to God. In other words, I think that there are many doors to God, many good doors. And I think that the question is, can we reach to that reality of God, open those doors, and be able to hear and listen and follow and understand what God requests of us? And can we use this life to truly be, you know, what are we really here doing? We're really here to know this deeper reality, the reality of God, and to perfect our spirits, to become truly compassionate, loving, holy people, to die in a very holy state, a state of enlightenment and illumination, and to go onwards with our journey after we go. And this is, for me, just a very, very small glimpse of what I believe God to be.
Ibrahim?
Yeah.
On the flip side of that, what if somebody's on the call who wants to be spiritual and is spiritual and wants to live in this way, but doesn't really consider themselves religious?
You know, I think that's absolutely fine. I mean, I think religious means that you've taken on a robe of a particular group, you know, Christianity or Judaism or Islam, or, you know, some formal robe, and you're following the precepts of that group. You may choose not to do that. In other words, you may choose not to follow a specific religious tenet. I think that the first thing that's important is your connection to the divine. And then I think to live by the outer actions that divine asks from us is the second most important thing. And then if you choose to cloak yourself as a Christian or as a somebody who's Jewish, or you choose to become Muslim, I think these are all fine. Or, you know, or whatever religion that, you know, as long as I believe it's a holy religion and a godly religion and it's taking you into, you know, I think this is fine too. But you have to find that truth inside yourself. It can't be forced on you. And it shouldn't be something that hurts you. It should be something that is freely taken on by you, something that illuminates you. And when you make the choice, if you choose to be a Sufi, we say Alhamdulillah, it means you thank God because you realize it's a gift. If you choose to be somebody who's Jewish, then you take that on because you realize that's truly the path that's in your heart. And it's coming from a true place of choice, not from something that's forced on you. And then you do it and, you know, you don't even want it. For me, that's the tragedy, as so many hearts have been broken, forced by, you know, different teachings, when they haven't understood the essence of the teaching themselves.
I just received another question.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to read it word for word. It says here, about traveling through these worlds to the Hakika, the beloved thought only Sidi or very few have reached, only by the grace of God people reach this state. And Gnosis seems to be even beyond Hakika. So what can we expect from this weekend?
It's a very beautiful question. Hakika is reachable by many people. And if you truly put your energy into it, in other words, you do the practices, you read the teachings, you learn them, you can reach this state. Hakika is not unreachable, and there are many people in our organization, our Tareka, who have reached Hakika now and are walking in the states of Hakika. So it's not an unreachable world to reach. Gnosis is, you're right, it is deeper than Hakika. The Hakika is the ground upon which Gnosis grows. Yet being in the presence of teachings will open this reality deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. So it acts like a jet engine. It will move you. It will help you. It will clarify your vision. It will clarify your understanding. It will clarify your teachings. It will help you to walk deeper. It will move you into everything that you would move into, but instead of moving it with a 20-watt bulb, it moves it with a 100-watt bulb. In other words, it's much brighter light. There's much greater clarity and understanding, and that's what it will give you. So these teachings, Sidi has asked me to bring these teachings to the people this year and to bring this out, and I think it will deeply help you. It will deeply help you very, very much in your walking and where you're going and what you're doing. So I hope that answers your question. Don't let the concept of the loftiness of these teachings keep you from attending this workshop, because it will be deeply, deeply helpful for you.
Okay. So those are all the questions I have. Did you receive any at the Connect?
Let me just take a quick look. Nothing comes through yet, but one of the things we could do is, were we not going to choose a couple of...
Yes.
All right. Well, should we do that?
Sure. We're going to give away some tickets for the weekend. If you want to pick two numbers that are in your head, Ibrahim, I'll count down. And
all right.
What I'll do, everybody, is I'll say, like, the last five digits of your phone number, and hopefully it's they're not the same as someone else.
All right, let's go ahead with number 20.
Okay. Hold on 1 second. 20 and what?
And actually 15. Let's do 15. When I go to 15, their hearts are just really wanting this work very deeply.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so the last five digits are 89071. And I actually have your name here, so I know who you are. So I will email you if I don't hear from you. And 20 would be the last five digits are 48984. And I am also writing your phone number down, your name down too. Okay. And then just to review with everybody, the event in Wichita is March 12th through 14th. So the Friday night, which is the 12th from 7 to 9 p.m., is free, completely free. And tomorrow is the early bird registration, ends at midnight. It's $225 right now, and there's a discount for Unity Church members. So if you're not a member now and you want to be a member, maybe you could join this weekend. And we are also in Kansas City on Wednesday, March 10th from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Unity Temple on the Plaza. And then we are in Edmond, Oklahoma, which is just north of Oklahoma City, at the Third Street Yoga Studio from 7 to 9 p.m. also, and those are both love donations. If you have any questions whatsoever, please call me. My number is 316-305-8226, and I would love to help you if you're having any difficulty with registering or you have more questions. I would be happy to help you. Okay. So... thank you so much, Ibrahim. Do you have any last-minute, anything final you want to say?
Just to thank everybody for listening, and I hope I meet you and see you in person. You know, we're going to be looking at Gnosis, how to find truth in your heart, purification, and healing. And those will be some of the topics that we'll be working on the weekend. We'll be talking about in the lecture. So I hope to see all of you, and welcome to everybody. And thank you for, Rahima, for opening your heart and inviting me up to Wichita. I'm looking forward to coming.
Thank you. Okay, good night, everybody.
Thank you all very much. Good night, everybody.
The moderator has left the conference.